This conference will now be recorded.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second.
Motion by Hurricane Arthur, second by Dustin Santa Clara. All in favor? Say aye. Any opposed? Okay. Item two, update on safe streets and roads for all program. Nick.
Yeah. So first item that I wanted to bring up to this board is the next round of funding for Safe Streets for All is due to, the notice funding opportunity was due to come out at the end of March next month. So if you are still anticipating it or interested in submitting any planning or demonstration grant activities in your areas, that should be when you get the idea of when those deadlines will be coming out. At this point in time, the grant funding that was given to Fayette County AOG still has some remaining funds in it. Around roughly $97,000 is remaining total between the federal amounts and the match costs. So we're looking to do a little bit extra planning activities with that. We reached back out to Avenue Consultants to talk to them about what we can possibly do. At this point in time, our ideas or our activities that we've talked about potentially doing is diving deeper into our top two safety profiles that were identified in the final plan report, which was teenage driving and angle conflicts. Okay. So we're still working out the scope of work. Currently, we have a draft right now that we're reviewing, and we should be getting ready to operate anytime in the next couple of months. We still have to reach out to federal highways to get a grant agreement amendment to our current agreement. Otherwise, our timeline will end for this grant will end this upcoming July. So we're looking to extend that right now. So we're working with federal highways to extend that timeline. The current idea is to extend the timeline up until January 2026, so next year is when we want to extend the contract out to. So we'll be reaching out to all the previous folks who attended or were on the email invitation for the Safe Streets for All Safety Subcommittee for anyone who wants to be involved. We've reached out to Washington County School District as well. We had a meeting with them this past week to talk a little bit about that, since we'll be going over teenage driving, and a part of that will be lumped in also with some of the Safe Routes to School funding that also came out. We'll be working with local cities and Washington County School District for any of those funds that are available, and anyone who is interested in applying for those. So we'll be talking a little bit more about that as conversations continue. Does anyone have any questions so far?
We've been going over this for quite a while. We need to redefine again what the angle conflicts is.
Yeah,
I understand the teenage driver part, but
yeah. So angle conflicts. Intersection angle conflicts with our second.
It's like just 90 degrees.
Essentially, it's crashes that occur at intersections where there's a left turn occurring.
Oh,
yeah, so. And I can actually draw it up on the whiteboard. So let's say car A is making a left-hand turn into oncoming traffic.
Okay.
Car B is coming this way. That's where they collide right here.
Okay. I was just trying to define that it wasn't like the road that comes in at a strange angle.
Right.
Still.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, those are second top safety profiles. So we'll be looking at that as well. So there will be more or less. That'll be focused more on engineering countermeasures that we identified and seeing what else we can identify. And then teenage drivers more educational focus and what we can do, maybe policy focused as well, to see what can be done there.
Would the funding work? Oh, sorry.
Sorry, Paul.
When's the next round of applications? Like, when's the deadline?
We won't know until the NOFO is out. Like I said, that'll be released at the end of next month. So if it's anything like the last funding cycle, there will be more than one deadline. But when those will be, we're not sure yet.
Yeah, can the fund extra funding, rather than looking into those top profiles, can be used to help anybody that wants to put together an application for the planning or implementation grant? That might be more useful to get more federal dollars to implement something rather than looking deeper into what we already know for this year.
So anyone who's interested in putting together an application, the MPO can dedicate some time just to do that ourselves. We don't need to use the remaining funds to go that way. In the final report that we released, in one of the items in the appendices had like a self-certification checklist, the previous NOFO like information, anything that we need for the application process. The application process also may have changed a little bit, and some of the webinars that were released after we were granted that award will help with that as well. But the application process wasn't entirely difficult. It was, I want to say, some basic statistics. You have to involve the map and then some, a project narrative and what you would like to do. And then anything else in terms of, that's for planning, for demonstration activities, will require a little bit more information, but all of that can also be found within our entire final report, like concepts, what we'd like to do.
So the information they need to apply for an implementation or demonstration grants in the report, and you'll help provide that to any municipality also apply.
Yeah, we can help with anything that any of these powers might be.
Any other questions for Nick?
Yep. If you have anything else after this, just reach out to me. I'd be more than happy to fill you in.
Okay. Item B, Chris, presentation of two intersection control evaluation studies.
Yes.
Where is
that? Just open the Microsoft. Yeah.
All right. So UDOT's done a couple of intersection control evaluations in the MPO area. They're called, we just shorten it to ICE. And I just want to go over them. This is the first one I wanted to talk more about, because I think after this presentation, I'll have a discussion about if we want to change one of the projects on the tip list to accommodate some of the information from the report. So we looked at both River Road and St. George Boulevard, 1000 East and St. George Boulevard, and said, you know what, these are some intersections that are either failing or close to failing, having issues. We said, what are some of the options we can do to improve those? So the ICE looks at both safety and then operations and maintenance and then initial cost to say, what is the best option over the cost or the duration of the cost cycle is 20 years for the intersection. So essentially, To kind of spill the beans first, we looked at this and we looked at multiple options of both, and it said the best solutions that we found at 1000 East is to widen 1000 East to have more lanes northbound and southbound, and also extend the right turn pocket from the exit ramp all the way across this block so that people coming off the freeway coming to Redding Hills will have essentially a lane to do that, so they don't have to leave to get there. This one basically said changing this intersection, so this east leg will be a full access in but only a right out, which we know that may not be popular with some of the businesses in this area, that may be controversial, but looking at some of the cost analysis and everything, we felt that data-wise that was the best thing to move forward. And I don't know how much we want to kind of dive into the, you know, the details of this.
Explain that again, the right out.
So yeah, so if you come in here,
turn on that going west.
No left turn or through.
Yes.
So not for 24/7. Poker room.
There's a round value.
There's a round
discount.
So, Chris, on that you have a no. There's not a eastbound through lane on that.
Eastbound, not westbound.
Yeah, eastbound could come in.
Eastbound could come in, but westbound.
Yes, westbound.
You got to go
right.
Right over. Yep. Or go out at the signal at
Street. Or come to the parking lot here.
Yeah. Okay. Can't have a new road.
So,
and you would you maintain the left turn capabilities on the north, on the intersection to the north of that on River Road?
Yes. And when you look at that, a lot of people said, well, what benefit would that have? But pulling that signal timing out for that through movement just frees up a lot of other time for the other phases of the signal, so it helps out significantly. And so it seems like it's not much, but it does make it significantly.
Can you analyze what that would do, that light to the north of that? Because it seemed that light.
To the shopping center.
Yeah, that's a pain to get out of that. Like,
well, you're going to be no
throw depth for now. No throw depth on the
on
the eastern side. Yeah. Some of the other things you looked at, but you got a big grade between the two properties to the south, so that's impossible.
So
that was a big kicker too.
So that's why we looked at it and said, you know what, there's not a lot of easy things to do, but that's kind of what we came up with. That's not saying that this is what we need to change it to, but this is essentially the most benefit for the least cost. So scrolling down, the first intersection is 1000 East. The changes actually are anticipated to increase the crash cost by 4.5%. So the crashes are actually going to go up a little bit with those additional lanes, but it will handle a lot more traffic, so delay goes down. And so overall, it's cheaper in the long term because there's a lot less delay at that signal. And the River Road one is supposed to decrease crashes by 0.4%, so very similar expected crashes. Not a lot of difference in active transportation. And then just saying that
active is hard now.
It'll still be hard in the future. We looked at this knowing that right now that interchange is a DDI. We know it's going to be planned for a SPUI. So all these options we looked at, say, what would work well with a SPUI in the future as well. So we're going to have to come back and redo these intersections at the same time and change that to a SPUI also. So I don't know if you want to get into a lot of the details of that or if this overview is enough. Or do you want to go look at some of the other options at River Road? I think we'll scroll down and actually.
What's a SPUI?
Single point urban interchange. So that's why I got into SPUI.
Just for me, thanks.
So the River Road we looked at right in, right out, so there wouldn't be any through movement in. East leg full in, right out, and then we also looked at a triple northbound left turn to help coordinate that. The biggest thing with that triple left northbound turn lane is the amount of right of way. There was like 7 impacted parcels. Pre-hitted right-of-way impact, so the cost was going to be really high. And then it was still that we still had issues with not a lot of land storage. And it was just, there was benefits there, but with the amount of right-of-way, it didn't seem like it.
Don't you have a triple left there now?
No.
And I know the traffic backs up, and it actually backs up into that through lane and prevents the one lane from being able to go north a lot of times, or because everybody's wanting to get on the freeway.
Yeah, so that's why we looked at that triple left.
It's only a triple when you use it, Larry. And you're on the right.
He uses that lane.
Just do it a few times when you go through.
It's a dual.
People swing right to go to Hershey.
That's an awful mess.
Yeah, that.
If I can find where the analysis is, you have to pick
somebody off.
Yeah.
We can provide this report for you if you want to look at all 78 pages of information.
We'll go through.
So this is something that on the 1000 East, just kind of the end of service life, we're with the improvements, we're at a level of service D. instead of, some of it's E, some of it's D, but either way, we have about half the delay as if we don't do anything in the future years. And also this queue, which is very concerning for UDOT because this puts us basically in the main line, I-15, if we have queues like this. So that is what makes it pressing for UDOT, but it's also for St. Louis City because Thousand East is also becoming an issue. So this is much more acceptable to have that queue on the ramp so it doesn't back up into the main line.
Just take into account the northern corridor.
Yes.
Then it's built.
Yes, I think they looked at the travel grant model, so it would show that.
Are you going to do anything with 100 East going up to the, what do we call it? That rough road or whatever? Dixie Road?
No, we don't have any. Well, no.
1000 East? Yeah, at the intersection going north.
Yeah,
north.
Port,
so
we actually have it paved and you can tie into industrial right now.
Here we go. I guess there's probably no room for widening that or anything.
Not in the north end, no. Mm-hmm. Not once you get past Red Hills Parkway, driveways are there, and you've got a telephone pole and mm-hmm. other issues there.
Yeah, so we just did a quick right away impact of like kind of yes and no's on there. So there are the different alternates. We've got strip tapes for 7 parcels with the triple northbound left. High utility impacts, have to have additional retaining walls or structures to accommodate it, and there's more about our environmental risk with that type of widening. So changing the access to the east lane is a lot less impactful, so that's why we kind of put in this report as the way to go. So essentially, here's the different layouts. So this one is the right in, right out, so there's no through here on this one. This one's the full end, so you still have the a left through lane on this side, so you can't come straight through here, still get a right in, but it's only a right out, so that's the layout for the, this is the one that we felt was the best fit. And then here's the triple left with widening on both sides of this to accommodate that triple left there.
Wait, did you turn everything 90 degrees squarely?
Yeah, it's around the right. From the
beginning of the boat.
Up is east.
Yeah.
North. Up is west.
Yeah.
Up is west.
Oh, west. Then, yeah. So is there no westbound through for those first two options?
No.
And the last one does have a westbound through? Okay.
So this one leaves it there, but just makes a triple left here. Yeah. So it leaves the westbound through. But these other ones, yes, the westbound through right here goes away. So essentially, if you're here at the Ramada and absolutely need to go there, you come take a right here, come up, turn around at the next signal, and come back. Depending on where you're going, if you're going through to I-15, you could just take Red Cliffs to the Green Spring, to Washington, and get on the freeway there. If you're going into St. George, then
that's going to negatively impact this, the people who patronize that strip mall there.
Not a lot, because a lot of people go up at that second signal that's on Duke and all the way south. So.
But the reason why I bring this up is this, is that currently there is a project 143 on the RTP. All it is River Road intersection improvements. There's no scope to it. It's listed as $5 million. And so I thought with this data, would it be worthwhile changing the scope of that project on the RTP to say, let's include both intersections and do the widening on 1000 and the additional turn lane on St. George Boulevard at the same time? Because this change is like, if we do the right in or the preferred alternative here, this one's fairly minimal cost. I think it was like 700,000 and like 3.5-4 million for the improvements at 1000 East. So it would fit within the current dollar amount of what's currently in the RTP, and we can get both intersections for this. But before we make that change, I think we need to go to St. George City needs to say we have buy-off of we're okay with this change to making that right out of that westbound lane. because that there may be political implications, to make sure that you guys are on board. So Jane, that's why I wanted to bring it up and have the discussion to say, yeah, are you okay with that? Do you want to have more conversation before we make this change, or what's the process?
Jay's personal friends with the Amato. You know, in my last meeting that we had over there. So we gave him a good pleasure.
So, Chris, the reason Project 143 says interchange intersection improvements, mm-hmm, instead of defining a specific scope, is because when we did the plan back in 2019, we identified that there was going to be an issue here. We didn't know how to fix it, but we knew that it would be needed. It would need a fix. So we thought, well, we'll call it interchange improvements. Throw $5 million at it, and sometime down the road, UDOT will invent a fix for us. So thank you for that. From our perspective, that sounds like a good fix, but
that's going to impact that strip mall quite a bit, because there's going to be a lot of people like me that are going to go try and go through the parking lot and get up that other ride, and it's already narrow through that strip mall parking lot.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I'm assuming you've got some data coming through.
Yeah, where are the counts?
I don't know about you, but I don't frequent the Ramada that much.
Well,
I wouldn't go up through there.
Are there other theaters
in the Ramada?
Cafe Zupas, man.
Yeah.
I go to the restaurant.
It used to be on the statewide hotel list, so everybody used to stay.
So, yeah, so.
Super Shakes and Carl's
Jr. So the average daily traffic.
Do you know what that is in the road plan that we did every 5 years ago?
3,000 in the eastbound. Two.
But that holds all of the rights, crews, and lefts.
That's the whole amount of everybody that uses that intersection going west.
On the east leg.
That's the right turn.
So what proportion of those are through that would no longer be able to make that?
They have that broken.
Probably a lot of throughs and lefts.
Yeah.
Throughs and lefts.
Yeah.
I know it's in here somewhere.
One of those 3,000 is me leaving Carl Jr.'s and headed back to the office.
Every day, huh?
Okay, here's peak hour.
Just had to go on.
So eastbound lefts.
Is it eastbound or westbound?
Westbound. Yes, there we go. So, yeah, the throughs, we're looking
so
at
the right
peak.
Like the smallest movement there.
Yeah.
The lefts and the throughs are pretty
so
big.
It would shift more right, so you'd have to. But yeah, so it probably should be quite bad.
So there's more throughs than lefts. It's interesting.
So those are peak hour.
Yeah, it's peak hour.
And what, remind me, the horizon? That's the.
The horizon is up the 20 year time frame, so 2043.
That's getting from
that. So. There's not a lot of growth there because there's not anything there. It's all developed. So
it'd be interesting to get a little bit of breakdown. I've got feelings most of them are coming from the shopping area.
Yeah.
And I guess the, what is it?
There's Cafe Zupas is right there in the Ramada, and then there's the
gas
station. I don't think they have the locals buy gas there.
So what was the time span? How many seconds does that really save us?
Between the current year and the future, so we're looking at horizon year, westbound left is still 167 seconds delayed. So here's the intersection delay table.
Okay. Is that it, Chris?
No.
I think we probably take it back. We have a good day. We probably run it by the city manager.
Okay. So I just want to have a discussion now to say this probably makes sense to make the change, but we can't do it without support of St. Louis City. So I think now it's time to say, here's the data. Let's ask the question and see if it's feasible or.
Yep.
Because if we are going to say this is unacceptable and the only option is a triple left, we'll need to essentially change the amount of that project on our RTP to say we're going to need a lot more money to do this fix.
So Chris, back on 1000 East, would you be adding lane width?
Yes, to the east side.
To the side. North Lake.
Yes. Yeah, the easterly side of the road to North Lake.
Okay.
What was the timeline?
How much?
5.
Right of way do you need through there? In addition to what you looked
at? We kind of looked at a little bit. There's just a little bit here. The big one is right here, I think, up on the north end by that little mall. Because we got to get things in there for turnarounds.
Whole parking split there.
Yeah, there's a retaining wall there too that we'd have to deal with. It's not that big.
Including that, I think the cost estimate was $3.6 million for that.
And then $700,000 for the...
I can't remember exactly how much it was for the other one, but yeah. Sorry, what's the cost?
It's in good shape. No.
So your question is trying to figure out if we want to make that $5 million do both intersections or...
Yeah, or if we need to say, this is great data, but we just can't stomach the impacts that taking that through and left out of that east leg out, and we need to go with the more expensive and put some triple lefts in.
The numbers don't seem that high, but
this is really stupid. And I mean, and the triple lefts do function better for longer. So that's the question: is do we pay the money now and have that huge impact now, so it functions better now, or is this buy some time?
Without looking at just the savings analysis, it seems to me like it's the northbound coming off River Road. Trying to get that seems to be the movement. So everybody's stacking in that left or leftmost lane and trying or rightmost turning left, trying to get that. Everybody's weaving and trying to compete with the other through traffic.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you've analyzed that.
Well, I think there was some concern with that leak there.
With just the flyover. River Road up over onto
for the... $5 million. Because we were worried about that weaving too, because if you have three lefts, you have to essentially put one of those lefts into an I-15 only lane.
Which is northbound.
Northbound.
Just my observation is that is what kind of controls that.
Yeah, but most of the backup is on the through movement though, because there's so much less storage right there. So it backs up in those two through lanes. And then people have a hard time even getting through the turn signal to get onto I-15. But the worry is if there's three lanes there, is the same thing going to happen? Because that inside lane right now is currently underutilized because they're all using the outside lane and then blocking the through lane.
Yeah, no one can get access to the other.
And if we do that same thing, is it going to just... Let's do the exact same thing. Everybody's still going to be in a far lane and block the access anyway. So that was the concern there, is that is it really going to function?
I mean, it's the same thing, Red Hills Parkway getting to Mall Drive. You've got one lane that's being utilized because everybody's trying to get to Mall Drive, and the other lane that hardly has any.
You're talking about the double left underneath the bridge.
So I think that's the conversation we want to have. So if you
probably want to look at what the impact would be, but I don't know. My initial thought would be you're going to have a percentage of those are just going to go up to the signal to the north through the shopping center and turn left there.
Anyways, if you want to take we can set up several meetings to discuss to make sure this, and then kind of bring it back with the proposal between UDOT and St. Joseph to say what we think is the best solution. But I just want to bring this up to say, let's not forget about this. This was completed several months ago, and I just don't want it to get lost and not make any changes based on this data. So
when's the project time schedule?
Right now, it is one of the highest-ranked TIF projects in the state for intersections. So if
it's
we can get a clear
funded.
It's not funded.
So it's sitting on the list for recommendation to be a grant, but it's not funded.
So if we can say this is exactly what it takes to fix it, this is what we need, and we tell that story to the Transportation Commission, there's a really good chance that when there's funding available, it will get funded.
And currently we are funded through TIF right now to 2032, unless there's shifts or
different things. So just
so earliest it can be is 2033.
Unless things move around. Now,
I think that a project this size might be able to be cash flowed earlier.
It might be able to be cash flowed earlier,
but yeah,
programming right now for the off the TIF model, we're out to 2032.
Yeah. But this is one of the worst signals in the state on UDOT system right now. I think it's in the top 5, I believe.
That's impressive.
That's what I think is, depending on how you analyze it, so that's why I give a leeway of top 5, depending on how you analyze it, that probably changes.
Isn't Washington City number 1? Greensboro.
Telegraph.
Yeah.
So,
should we have a trophy?
So that's that one.
Like a pressure cooker and more.
Where is that?
Nick has this presentation. If anybody wants this PDF to look at more, he can share it out. The other one I wanted to hit, this was probably less of a concern for this issue because this intersection is St. George at 1250 North, so SR 18 West Street, kind of north of the Sunset Plaza. We did the same thing here to say, what are some options to help this interchange? Based on the life cycle of a 20-year intersection, the lowest cost is a roundabout due to reduced crashes. But there's still, once again, a lot of concern. Is a roundabout the right fit for this corridor? So I don't know that we really need to get into this because it's not a regional project. But I want to bring it up that UDOT has been doing these ICE studies on state routes where there's concerns. So I wanted to let you know that if there's any like signals or intersections in different municipalities that you have concerns about, Cody Marchant is our traffic engineer, and if you feel like one of these studies would be beneficial, reach out to him and we can have a conversation of if we could fund a study like this at a different intersection if there's problems.
Even off state route?
No, these ones are for just state routes.
Would that apply to that one? I know it's not going to be to the traffic volume that we have here, but it will work when that new Hot Springs opens.
That's a possibility that might be worth talking to Cody about. Yeah. So that's why I wanted to bring it up, is to kind of get everybody familiar with these that we're doing. If you have intersections that have concerns, we're working with Washington County right now to do one at Diamond Valley too, because that T intersection is an issue. So we're trying to actively look at some of our intersections that may have problems with safety or other things, to say what is the best long-term solution at them. So,
just to let the cat out of the bag, show them the roundabout.
What's that?
So to let the cat out of the bag, show them the roundabout.
Well, it'll be interesting. What have we got?
We'll see.
So it's got some constriction. We've got two high-power voltage or two big metal poles right in the right-of-way where you need to put traffic signal poles.
So that's the layout for a signalized intersection. Here's the layout for the roundabout, the turbo roundabout, so it kind of facilitates through movements better. But yeah, those utility poles are in here. So, and then also trying to expand this bus storage for this bus stop is kind of an issue. So there's definitely concerns with the roundabout.
What's that?
Yeah, and it's twisted to try and accommodate some of those utility conflicts and everything like that way, minimizing accesses, impacts accesses.
What's the pedestrian impact?
So it actually shows an improvement for pedestrian because you have the island refuge and you're only crossing one direction at a time. So I think there's some benefits for the pedestrian because right now there's nothing there signalized. It's one long crossing, but this one just breaks it up into shorter crossings, so we expect increased pedestrian safety with the roundabout. So those are the options. We looked at a three-quarter access too, and it just didn't make sense. So really it's between the signal and the roundabout there. The signal is issues that will increase the projected crash rates, so it'll just cause safety to go down, but it does help the mobility in the area. So, unless there's any questions.
All right, any questions for Chris? Okay, thanks, Chris. Item C, Blake. So, reprogramming request.
Yeah, we kind of talked about it a couple of meetings ago where we started Red Hills Parkway and realized that we needed an environmental design of uses. Federal funds, so we made a request to, and Myron just said, let's make it official here, but to basically switch that funding that was in 2028 to the Washington Main Street Extension project that we've started to work on, and that way we can work on the environmental and other things at a time to get that ready. But it's definitely, we're definitely seeing quite a impact of a lot more traffic coming down Main Street. And this is to basically kind of bring that down from Telegraph over to First and then down towards Industrial. That gets it over to the fields, and the Washington Field Road, so that we can bring a flow of traffic down through rather than hitting Telegraph, turning left, and over to Third, and then vice versa, doing it the opposite way to try to get to the intersection. So it's trying to smooth that up, direct traffic that wants to go out and get to the exit quicker, direct them down through that. So
are both these projects on the stick?
Yeah, they were. We put them both on there, right?
So the Main Street project is not on the stick.
Okay, that's weird.
When Blake made his presentation in November, he requested that we put on the stick. And what he wanted to do in November was move the money from Red Hills to the Main Street project. And so when we were considering those TIF projects, we didn't address directly that moving of the money. So we need to make that formal if that's what we want to do.
How does that Main Street project, or how did it rank with other projects that were proposed at the time?
The two projects that were funded ranked number one and two, and this one was number three.
So that would, sorry, I'm a little confused. So that would federalize the Main Street extension? Don't you federalize the project once you move it?
Yeah.
So that would move.
Are you utilizing any money from an NPO federalized?
Right, yeah, mm-hmm. That's what I'm assuming.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, so
you got other money? Or is that going to, will this fund the, will this take care of Main Street?
No, like this will get us started on it. So it is putting the things together and getting through those federalized pieces that we need to do before we have a much, it's a much larger project than that will cover. This is more of the planning and environmental, I think.
So the Red Hills Parkway widening, part of that's already done.
It's finished.
Okay.
It's all finished. See, now I only have a few other things to get on my report, but it just finished on Monday. They completed everything.
Awesome.
So, yeah.
So, why are you looking for a vote from this group to approve that move? Well, to recommend that to
DTEC.
Are there any other questions for Blake?
So just a heads up that, you know, with that being 2028, that funding won't be available until October 1st, 2027. So there's nothing. When you mentioned that you can get started on it, there won't be any of that money won't be available until October of 2027.
Correct.
So I'm good with it, but we're not setting precedent, are we? Both? Moving money to from one project that's on the stick to another project that's not on the stick?
Well, if you look back at the November meeting when we programmed those monies, this was the next project on the list. And Blake mentioned during that meeting that he wanted to move the money. But we never, when we got to a vote, we approved the other two projects and failed to approve this. So we're just extending that same action. And I don't think that would necessarily be a precedent because of the November discussion.
Okay.
So we have a motion to move the $890,000.
I'll motion to approve our recommendation for DTAC, for the DTAC, to move that money.
Motion from Arthur.
I'll second.
Second from Chuck. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Myron, item D, consider proposal to complete preliminary design of five gap fill action. Trent State Project in Washington County Carbon Reduction Program funds.
So also in our December meeting, we had some TAP and CRP monies left over. It was about $569,000 of money that we can program. And we assigned Leslie Fonger to come back with a proposal. Here she is.
You can't have a proposal from Greater Zion, or if Greater Zion is in Washington County, without a picture. So Washington is a very beautiful picture. But we sat down, put our heads together, Todd and Elliot and I, and took into account what we learned during our transportation planning and active transportation plan that we just finished not too long ago. And came up with five priority routes that we'd like to begin, we'll call preliminary design on, get to about that 30% design point on, that would allow us to get better cost estimates, move forward, identify right-of-way needs, move forward with any required environmental analysis, to have that level of proposal, accommodate community concerns and things right off the get-go and give us a good base for moving forward on actually getting those projects funded, finalized, analyzed, and everything else as we go on. So the five that we identified are both within the MPO and not. So they're in red on there. And I just added the main routes that they affect in a regional sense and through the MPO. So see the five routes there. The top there is New Harmony. We have from SR-18 into Pine Valley, connecting SR-18 between Vail and Snow Canyon, a few things. Continuing along the Virgin River from Washington City to Hurricane Grandpa's Pond. And we have Sheep Ridge there. And so let's go over them one by one. SR-18, I feel like we've had some good success with our trail we finished from Bayo to Central. We've had a lot of from Rochette to UDOT comments on it'd be great to finish that trail and finish that gap. So that we would like to move on. It's probably our highest priority. And there's a lot of activity in that right of way right now with pipeline at the moment and a couple other things. So with that, we would want to analyze a connection into Diamond Valley. You can't tell on this map, but I have it going to Diamond Valley Elementary as far as the stopping point in Diamond Valley. And later on the Pine Valley map, we also want to add a very short extension on the northern end of it to go to Sumac Drive in Central, which connects that neighborhood better than where we stopped at Main Street. So next, continue along the Virgin River to extend from where the trail in Washington City stopped at Sunrise Valley. Sunrise Valley Park and get up to Grandpa's Pond. So this route is on the MPO's active transportation plan. The portion from Sunrise Valley up to SR-9 is in phase one, and the portion from SR-9 to Grandpa's Pond is in phase two.
Is that alignment along the Virgin River or along
Riverside
Road?
It's along the Virgin River. Along the Virgin River.
How much is in private property?
There's about, I don't know a percentage. We've identified approximately a dozen property owners, one of them being the BLM, one being Water Conservancy. Depending on what side of the river you're on, Ash Creek and Richard Christ have a lot of property on the east side. There's some Water Conservancy, the gravel pit, some other kind of nature conservancy.
So not too many.
It's not a whole lot of numbers.
Subdivisions or anything like that? Do we have to go through?
No, no subdivisions.
Mostly public entities or reserves.
Yeah. Some private entities for sure, but no subdivisions and some pretty large parcels.
And is it out of the floodplain? That's a question Jay likes to ask.
Well, that would be part of what we would determine in the preliminary
yeah.
design.
But
is
I don't
we
think
can't.
A trail, really.
Yeah.
We love trails in the floodplain.
We just don't like repair them.
We just don't like them right against the river. Right. Property owners tend to want to push you right up against the river, which means every time it floods, you have to come back in.
Once you, this isn't quite as detailed, but once you come around this corner, you start hitting this hill. You see it here? And it has a gap in it out here where I believe Hurricane would like to put a road at some point.
That's actually right here.
Oh, sorry,
right there.
Yeah, come around. This is a little more open, but you start hitting this hill, and then you really start hitting it here.
Yeah, there's going to have to be a boardwalk.
Yeah, boardwalk, hill cut. It's part of this design. This one is going to be more complicated, but it would really be determining what is the most feasible way to get through this landscape here. But it is highly desired to continue this connection along the river. Future plans also include Purgatory Road and having a trail along the future Purgatory Road. And the SR7 trail had tentatively planned to come up Turfside Road, so you'd be over here. But the density of development was in this area. It warrants all three routes. They branch off and take you to different places as well. But this in particular fits in nicely with the progress we've made. Of course, Washington City getting all the way to here, Hurricane City, and I put this as still the planned route that we talked about. Working on right now, getting from Grandpa's Pond over the 200 West, and then we're working on plans. We've started a contract to work on plans through Confluence Park, and once you're through there, you're connecting to our Zion Corridor Trail plan. So this, filling this gap gets you from St. George to Zion.
Has this route been identified for, like, the UTN folks?
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, UTN's one is the Turfside Road.
It's Turfside, yeah. It's been recommended with them, too. But the final plans is yet to come out.
I think currently we're going off of that original SR7 trail study, which showed Turfside, and I think it'll probably stay that way. Because UTN vision is to connect destinations,
mm-hmm.
and so the development along Turfside and connecting to Sand Hall and others, that alignment fits the vision of UTN better than a recreational trail along the river, because there's not good connection points.
What that'll do.
Access there, so I think UTN is probably going to keep it on Turfside Road for those connection points.
Because from what this does, I mean, if you go up Purgatory, you're connecting up here and straight onto Quail.
Yeah.
If you come up Officer 7 and you end up on Turfside, and there's very good reason to go on Turfside, you're coming up here and you're branching out. And you're connecting to Sand Hollow and you're connecting back to SR7. If you're coming along the river, you're staying along the river and you're connecting directly from point A to point B here into that system. So there are a lot of questions on space design, right of way through here. Those are questions we hope to answer by doing this. And then we'll either find out that, oh my gosh, that's just way too impossible, which I think is unlikely. But we'll know how to go forward from there.
That's going to be one of the most interesting stretches of the trail along the Virgin River. It's a really neat
it's really
area.
Great.
We hiked it several years ago. Mm-hmm. Were you on that?
I wasn't.
Okay. Because I went with someone from Washington.
With Scott, I think.
Scott Missel was there. Anyway, so it was really, like, I was like, wow, this is cool.
This is a desire of Washington City's. This is course, their municipal boundary ends here. It's on Hurricane City's trails plan, as well as the Enterprise trails
plan. It's a big segment, links four cities together.
And the reason the county, because we do have this gap, this very nice shaped gap of county incorporated. That is a significant portion.
So how many miles is that complete total? We know
that's around.
That's like
seven.
I was gonna say it's over 5 miles.
So we couldn't put our marathon in there yet.
Ironman all the way to the
bike
park
and the swimming. Hit the river. Get off the main roads.
That's around 7 miles.
Just up and down, I think. I remember.
All right. So that's our second one. This is Sheep Ridge Road, which is on the county's active transportation plan. It's not on the MPO plan because when that plan was done, Virgin wasn't part of the MPO yet. And now Virgin is. So this is Virgin's boundary right here. So a good chunk of that is in Virgin. And by the time you come out at the end of it, you're connecting to Hurricane.
So is that right along Sheep Ridge Road then?
It would be right along Sheep Ridge Road. It's about 5 miles. We're currently in design, environmental analysis to improve that road.
They just received funding for the construction side. Mm-hmm.
We don't want to lose the opportunity to get trail through there. In conversations, some of the workshops with UTM too, there was excitement about having this connection because then you could start from here and follow 59 and connect Apple Valley and Hillville and Kanab. So this shouldn't need additional environmental analysis. That's a plus for it. But
you've already done some environmental analysis?
We tried to do a wide enough right-of-way in the current environmental analysis, so it's not quite finished, but close.
Kate said it was finished by May.
Yeah, that we shouldn't.
So the county went ahead, Myron, of the project to do the environmental right-of-way.
Before we got
clearances, before the funding came, and they just got PIP funding to complete all of that. So.
So that's a plus here for sure. Then we have Pine Valley. Now this is the little northern extension along SR18 that we would actually want to lump in with the SR18 project. And it's about a 0.7 mile to extend from Main Street and Central to what's called Sumac Drive, which gets a neighborhood that sits like this. But connecting from SR18 into Pine Valley through to the Pine Valley Recreation Area would be the desire here. We know that this would require environmental in the future. You're primarily working with the Forest Service rather than the BLM. It's on our active transportation plan and desired route to connect recreation and community to SR18. Questions? And last but not least, New Harmony along Highway 144, connecting from I-15 into the town of New Harmony. We've recently been doing, Elliot Tigger's put a lot of work into right-of-way analysis on how much right-of-way we actually have with 144 road there. We know we can fit a trail, it's a little tight in some spots, but this would allow us to delve deeper into that if there are any right-of-way needs. We feel the timing is good. Community-wise, it connects New Harmony to their library, which is out here, and the Fort Harmony Historical Site. There are developers working out their plans for both the Washington County portion of New Harmony. And this right here is Iron County, and there's some plans developing there, and this allows us to get ahead of all that to make sure a trail happens along 144 before there are other complications.
So, Leslie, as you spend federal monies on these projects for design,
you're basically federalizing the program, the projects. Are you certain you want to do that?
Well, Elliot, if you want to chime in, generally speaking, the trails are less expensive than the roads when you do that.
But is the environmental clearance any different than the roads?
No. It's only required where you're crossing those federal land management agencies or outside of current roadways and so on.
Do you do conceptual design and like cost estimating, federalize the entire project?
Yeah, well? What percent would it have to be designed to?
If it's intended for that scope, yes.
So any of the projects that go across BLM or Forest Service are going to have that requirement anyway. But if it's not, then I guess that's where they have the choice. Yeah. Got to make a choice.
So the only one that doesn't cross some kind of federal property is New Harmony. And that's one of our less expensive ones to look at.
So are you saying that if we cross federal property, it becomes a federal project?
Well, it's federalized. Whether you use land or dollars.
The environmental process is
the same.
Sometimes we use current environmental, like our Central DeBayo. We stay within the dots right away, so it's already process.
Yeah, it wouldn't federalize the whole project if we brought state funds to it. We'd have to follow the federal process for environmental, but the project could still remain a state funded through construction. I guess is the point I'm trying to make.
So, isn't really the federal issue just the NEPA?
That's most of it, depending on element types, yes.
If you get federal aid for construction, that's where you have more red tape. But if you're just doing design.
But if you get the federal money and it's federalized into design, it will federalize it for construction.
You're obligated to federalize it for construction.
So let me give you an idea of what I'm concerned about. On this New Harmony project, it's up here. You're estimating that preliminary design would cost $40,000, and that's in your total that you're asking for. When we tried to first spend these TAP funds on a sidewalk along in Washington Telegraph Road. We programmed 100,000 and they came back and they said we can't do the environmental and the project for less than 200,000. The environmental cost to clear that was in the neighborhood of $80,000 for that portion.
We're not proposing to do environmental at this stage. What we have learned is that we need to be at about that 30% design level to give a good proposal to even start environmental. And that's where we want to get to.
So this is more of a concept. Just concept, not completing the environmental.
No, not completing the environmental. This prepares us to take that step.
Okay, and all five projects are that same way. You're trying to get up to 30%.
Yes.
So that you can.
And if we have, I mean, like I said, this New Harmony route, which is one of the least expensive of them, if we have to pull that out because we have concerns about federalizing it, it is the only one that wouldn't cost federal somehow anyway.
He's got most of the right way anyways. Mm-hmm. It does meander quite a bit, but
yeah. So that's an easy modification. This is, by the way, just the map of our active transportation plan for the county through grant projects. I want to see that, but we are open to discussion on modifying the proposal too. More funds want to be put toward higher priorities to get them further along, to include environmental, that kind of thing. But these are our top five.
Leslie, I know we talked about it at our last meeting, but I'm sure Santa Clara is feeling the same. There's nothing for Ivan and Santa Clara. We're pretty anxious to see that extension on the Santa Clara River proceed. So why did that get left off this plan?
Well, right now we don't have any way forward, at least on County Unincorporated. We're out to Fire Lake. And we don't have a good way forward to get to Gumma and whatnot. Along with Santa Clara River, I'm unclear, especially as to where Santa Clara is with right-of-ways.
Oh, we've got some right-of-way.
Yeah, so we might just lack the information there. But we also picked areas where we're crossing big gaps of county incorporated.
Okay. Well, I'd be really disappointed if we didn't try to get some progress moved on the extension of the Santa Clara Trail system. I think, I know there's some discussion with the Shibwits that they're talking about putting a resort out there. And I think with that going on, I think we have a great opportunity to get some right of way through the Shibwits reservation. I know we're in negotiations with some developers right now. Anyway, I think now would be a good opportunity to really try to pursue something with them. And so I strongly feel like we should be looking at that extension.
We could have that discussion. I think we have more of a lack of information. We're not waiving anything. So
if that's the problem, let's fix that. Let's get the information.
Because we do, you know, want to bring that up. You can see on this plan, we do want to come around to Gumma Reservoir and
all the way back up to there.
And see, they just recently, there was going to be that dry wash reservoir they were going to put in Ivins. It was kind of controversial, and the district backed off of it. In part of it was the controversy, but they've also refined their plan and determined what they can do without it. And I know that now there's a big push to push a trail all the way up to Hellhole Canyon in Ivins. And so there's an opportunity there, I guess, to really improve some recreational facilities there.
So I don't know what kind of time we have to modify. Does this have to be the DTEC on the 18th? Or?
Well, we're trying to populate our 2025 and 2026 funding. The 2025 funding is available now, and the 2026 funding will become available the 1st of September. So we really need to get started and be able to obligate this project before the 1st of October. So we have a little bit of time if we wanted to modify that. But just for those of you who can't see what I've got in front of me, the proposal, the cost proposal is $648,000. We have in our TAP funds $303,000 in 2025, and then an additional $265,000 in 2026 funds, getting us to $568,000 there. 569-ish. That doesn't get to the 648 that you're looking for.
No, we anticipate some match.
If we wanted to swap out one of these projects for another one through this look, we could do that. Or we could, or another idea is that we could come back with an additional project for 2026 funds at a later date. Approve these now and then come back for an additional project in 2026 funds. Besides those two pockets of TAP funds, the 303 and the 265, we also have $266,000 of 2026 CRP funds that we could program. So there's a chance that we could do all of these five and that one if this, well, this board would have to approve that.
I mean, we could talk about dropping, I'm just going to think out loud, New Harmony and say Pine Valley, and working with Santa Clara and Ivins to bring a proposal on in time for 2026. And then look at the board to 2027, and we're closer to that date. We'd either be at a point of wanting to extend one of these projects further into environmental design, or look at adding other projects back on.
Well, I would totally prefer that. He's just probably not see anything on
the side. We don't mean to stiff you.
Our original intent was to make the most important connections first.
I think that one's way more important than some of those other ones. That's just my opinion. But
I think the funding
for cities is
definitely. Well, no, I'm talking about New Harmony and Pine Valley. Those ones, I mean, they're not even in the Enfield boundary.
I can understand that argument. Pine Valley at least connects the connection to the Enfield. But if we, just running figures in my head, drop New Harmony and Pine Valley, I think that's about 260.
Yeah.
And move forward with the other three for 2025. Might put us in that range.
A question, is there an issue with spending these monies outside of the NPO boundaries?
That's an excellent question.
Because if it's an issue, then we need to drop them off anyway.
That's an excellent question, and I'm not sure.
So again, when you look at, so Sheepridge, I guess
Bridge
technically
is
this is what's outside the boundary now?
Yeah. Well, so If this is a project where the county would anticipate spending county money,
mm-hmm.
as well as the federal money that you get, I don't think it would be an issue. But I would have to take some time to go back and research, can we spend this money outside of our NPO?
This is entirely within the NPO. SR18 does go out. Argue it's a direct connection and benefit to the MPO.
Well, and even staying in Santa Clara, once you got past into
pushing out, going back to here. I don't have the MPO boundary, but that's the city boundaries.
It butts up right against Ivins.
Yeah. So yes, we'd have to answer that question.
Sheepridge Road is not entirely.
Right, but there's that little piece.
Yeah, the southern piece of that, so.
And I think it's okay if it's not in the boundary, if it's benefiting, if the people that are served are mostly in the boundary.
Yeah, I was just going to say that part of our rationale should be like, okay, how many users are we able to capture with these projects?
Right, I think that one. Remembering this kind of research I did 10 years ago on a different project, I think what I'm going to find is that the rules are, as long as it's approved by the MPO boards, the DTAC or DTEC, it would be okay to spend it outside. But it's completely up to the MPO boards. I want to take some time to go back and research that before we...
So we don't push the discussion to it.
Well, you know, we could recommend it to DTEC based on my research in the next 2 weeks. That would be fine.
So we'd be willing to modify the proposal currently to give us some time and take off New Harmony and Pine Valley. So if the top three, I guess, would be five.
So
that'd be SR18.
SR18 is $198,000. And New Harmony was $40,000.
New Harmony was $40,000, but Pine Valley, I believe,
is $220,000. Pine Valley
was $220,000. So you take those two out, you're taking out $260,000.
Right.
Even just over $300,000.
So when you talk about not doing environmental, this is kind of a feasibility. Is it just defining the alignment, basically?
And by so doing, we answer a lot of questions. We answer a lot of questions about utilities, about the landscape, because we do that surveying of it, where we're going to need right-of-way because there's not room, where we're going to need a particular structure, whether it's a bridge or other things. That gives us, having all that gives us good cost estimates moving forward, a solid alignment to propose for the environmental, and a solid foot forward in pursuing their need of right-of-ways, because now we can, we're at a point where we can describe them.
So like a high-level environmental analysis will be part of the scope?
I think it would be
probably more of just knowing what resources are in the area, whether the trail can go there or not, or it's got to be moved. I think this is what I'm understanding from what you're trying to describe.
Yeah.
Not doing any of the clearances or requests for anything. It's just what's in this area and can the path go here?
We've learned from doing portions of the Zion Corridor Trail where we're still working through environmental some things, that if we can get to that point before we even start working on the environmental process, we're so far ahead. We can narrow down the scope of the environmental. We don't have to cover a wide range of property. That brings down the cost of surveys, makes our BLM or Forest Service member group, they're a lot more comfortable because we're not proposing something that's going to move a lot. We find that's a lot of a better process than trying to start with environmental and then narrow it down.
It defines the impact for the environmental and
care after that. But at the same time as we're doing that, we already have the information, good information of what the construction cost is likely to be, and we already have the information to push you out of the right ways. Consolidates our time a lot better too.
So the five projects you're considered taking off, which two? The Pine Valley and New Harmony? And that puts it down to 300 and...
No, it might be.
60.
It drops it by 260.
468. Is that what we're...
468 less, or excuse me, yeah. I'm doing it wrong. 648 less... 260 is 388. So you could do that with the TAP funds, the 2025 TAP funds, and a portion of the 2026 TAP funds.
If we get a motion for that, then you're saying that you'd do some research into
spending it outside the boundaries.
So are we ready for a motion to make that?
I got a couple of other questions. So the agenda says 2025 to 2029. TIP, are we programming funds beyond, and what are the years that we're programming funds?
So we're programming the funds that we can in 2025 and 2026.
Okay.
We're not programming funds beyond that.
Okay.
In fact, if what we just talked about goes through, we would only be spending our 2025 funds.
All right. So,
that doesn't mean that the project has to be done within 2025.
It has to be obligated.
You want to obligate those funds prior to October. September 1. So, work with the feasibility is just under contract for the design.
So just a couple more things. It seems like the CRP, this is CRP, right?
TAP.
And it's federal.
I want to follow up real quick on a question. Well, not, I won't have the answer in this meeting, but if it's a feasibility for multiple projects, a future project would come out of this with a separate PIN and a full environmental document. I don't believe this would require future funds to the project to be federal because we're not doing an environmental document.
But okay.
I want to confirm that.
All right.
That's been my understanding.
Especially if the future project didn't have a UDOT pin, but a local project, that might change too.
Maybe be careful not to call this a 30% design, but call it a feasibility.
Feasibility study.
Concept plan. So. We found that, some of the past things that are called a feasibility study did not go far enough.
time to help us with that, because that's the...
Right, so keep the idea that you're doing a 30% design.
We'll call it a feasibility.
We'll call it a feasibility concept, sorry.
Arthur, do you have a...
Yes, I'm still trying to... So it seems like this type of effort is a good use of the of these funds, in my mind, based on our experience. And with regards to what Chuck has brought up, like it seems like there's some good opportunities there where we need to turn over some rocks and look under them, see if we can get that trail extended. Can we make a motion to like obligate all of the funds for 25 and 26 towards these projects, plus something that's DMPO-ish, extending to the west? Is that something we can do?
Don't you also have some CRP, 2025 CRP funds?
Yes. So we have 303 in TAP 2025 funds, 265 in TAP 2026 monies, and 266 in CRP monies for 2026. Which should be able to include all of what we talked about today.
740,000.
And we would love to
834,000.
You know, sit down with Santa Clara Items and look at
yeah,
a line on the map to bring back in a similar format to this proposal and move forward to 2026, 2027. I don't think that would be too difficult to do altogether.
So I added that up, and it was 834,000. And I'm not quite sure if it's appropriate to make a motion that we program all that money towards studying, doing feasibility studies for trails, but that's what I would like to do.
We ready for a motion? Can we take that as a motion?
I have a little issue with the New Harmony and just being outside of the MPO, because I know that my political folks would really probably lose it on that piece. They're just that far out, like the New Harmony's way out there.
I think we're modifying our proposal. I see
the connection of the others, but that doesn't seem to. Yeah.
All right, just to be clear, I'm proposing that the official proposal from Washington County be for SR18, Virgin River North, and Sheep Ridge, and that we would take out New Harmony and Pine Valley, and then move forward with discussions with Ivins and Santa Clara and looking to the west. And there would also be opportunity for discussion with any other MPO entity based on the funds available to add to a modified proposal for the coming years.
I would be more comfortable with that, but not obligating all of the funds until we've done that.
You good to make a motion? Now we are?
Kind of was a motion.
I'll take it.
Well, how much are we going to leave off?
Like, well, don't you have some estimates for the three that you've proposed already?
I do. So the three that are proposed, the State Route 18 project was 198. The Virgin River was 140, and Sheep Ridge Road was 50,000.
That's 400, just under 400,000.
388. So it's quite easy to just hit delete on the other two sections.
So you give that 388 number?
Or even 400.
400?
Yeah.
Well, clear, 405.
In general, I just think we need to look at the what we're calling feasibility and what that does include. At first glance, that feels pretty hefty.
I gave five bullet points.
The five bullet points were right-of-way identification and acquisition.
Identifying acquisition, not acquiring.
Identify. So we need to take the word acquisition out. Right-of-way identification. Identify and mitigate additional right-of-way challenges such as structure needs, utilities, et cetera.
I think it's more identify and possible mitigation or something. You're not mitigating.
prepare environmental analysis.
These were the goals.
To me, what I'm hearing
is that paragraph before, maybe I need to put in bullet points more.
It's almost like a corridor study or something. You're just identifying.
We're identifying the
location the and what region. The challenges are going to be and trying to just look at the risks. And the,
this is the most reasonable route through.
Yes.
And, yeah. And probably trying to nail down the horizontal vertical alignments too, so we're not finding surprises when it's time to go to environmental and you're on the other side of the hill or something.
I mean, if you've got to build a mile of boardwalk versus you've got to go purchase the property from the right. Those are the types of things you're trying to identify. Yeah. You're not starting into what
the scope is of feasibility. My gut check for what we're talking about, $400,000 is pretty hefty for that feasibility level. Without looking at the details, I can't say yeah or nay to it, but that's just my gut.
We came to that estimate using current bids that we got. The design quarter trail, cost for SR18 trail at the design level.
But we're not doing any of that design level.
Not that full. So our design quarter trail, we call it 30% design, but we do not, we got bids for specifically that portion, not the whole thing, not full design. So we're using that as a check. I'd say that's probably on the higher end of expense. And something like our design phase or a portion of our design phase for SR18, you know, the central is on the lower end of the check and you kind of shop for the middle for the investment.
With that in mind,
there's a lot of trail miles in there. I'm okay with it.
I just want to understand the scope.
A lot of trails, and it's kind of like, The problem is you got to know what the problem is before you start kind of thing. You're trying to get to that point.
I mean, we do want to be able to survey. We want to be able to understand the topography. We want to be able to really nail down that alignment and then assess next steps.
Yeah. I'm comfortable with it. There's a lot of river.
And a lot of river, too.
Yeah, your survey costs are even pretty high. Just in the survey.
I don't necessarily want to see it get into more of a design. It's more of a identifying possible routes and what the potential problems are. Property owners.
Are we comfortable with concept plans?
Yeah.
Describing it that way.
Concept study.
And then I stumble as to what's the right language to use.
So are we ready to make a motion?
A second
to Jay's motion that Myron will clarify, I'm sure.
So just to be clear, the motion is to fund the three projects and leave the rest to a future discussion.
$388,000. We need that number in there, or do we want to put $400,000?
Are we coming back for the Santa Clara Ivins, or are we?
Yes. Okay. And this is pending Myron's research. I guess we don't need to on that, do they? They're all on the
other side. Yeah.
I'll do the research anyway.
So I seconded it.
We have a motion from Jay, a second from Arthur. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Thank you.
How much time do you need to kind of work out the sample and stuff?
What we really need is to set up a meeting with you, Clara, and really get to know what you've got, what's needed.
I think it'd be good to invite St. George to that also.
We would love to have St. George.
Yeah, we love you.
Let's move on. Item 3, public involvement, addition transportation, it's for open discussion.
Just very briefly, the transportation expo is next week. Bring a friend.
It's Wednesday, February 11th. Starts when?
10 a.m. to 5.
10 to 5.
10 to 5.
Tuesday, 10 to 5. We from the love. It's our favorite time.
This week from yesterday.
At the Dixie Center.
I think all of us have been involved in that before. We intend to understand what it is. I think all of you have got a booth there. If you don't, meet me after.
If you don't, I've got a couple of last minute spots.
And Lloyd can fix you up if you don't have the. That's all I have.
Okay. Local project status update. In the interest of time, make her quick. Hurricane?
Okay, so we bid out our chip and slurring projects, just over $1 million in pavement maintenance and Hurricane coming up this year. Sand Hollow Road is now open to the public, so that's kind of a big deal. And
when's the other road going to be closed?
It's probably going to be 7 months. We got to go through a public process and work out some things on that one. So, but thanks for asking. And then we have a large scale pressurized irrigation project that's affecting a lot of our city streets that's under construction right now. So just be aware, you might not be able to make that left turn. That's all.
Okay, Ivan.
We're doing a crack ceiling project right now. We have a contractor. It's about halfway through that. And then we'll be following that up with some HA5, although we are looking at an alternative this year. We're going to have to try to compare whether it is equal to HA5.
What alternative is it? Rock?
No. I can't remember.
Onyx?
Not Onyx. It's a new player. It's coming. I think they have an alternative.
So Vegas? Solid?
The city council voted to make the speed bump permanent. So
is that on Spokane?
On Spokane Parkway, so we've got to figure out what that's going to look like. Snow Canyon State Park has got their road under construction. It's actually inside of Ivan's, but it's not our project. We actually deeded the right of way over to them inside of the city, so that will be under construction for the next couple months. And then Old Highway 91 Phase 2 will start up this month, and so that will be underway.
92?
Old Highway 91 Phase 2.
We knew what you meant, Chuck.
I just skipped some words. And then we're working on our gap fill trail project. I understand we're having some trouble getting the consultant on board because of the freeze of federal funds.
That should not be the case anymore.
Okay, right. So
we were having, yes, but that's
but all. That's over. Now. The pause is over.
And it's partial. I'll give you an update.
That's it.
We're doing a crack seal project and pavement preservation is getting ready to start. That's it for us. Leeds, are you here? No. St. George.
Jed? Where are you starting? We reported on Tech Ridge and we've got 7 traffic signals under design.
6. 6 traffic signals under design. 1300 West Sunset, I guess that's UDOT and St. George. You guys want to talk about that? Our various roadway space.
We're still continuing to do the chunks of mostly River Road.
Riverside, Dixie Drive, and what was the other one? Anyway, another one. Yeah. And then our Four Master Drive open, should be open February 21st, right here?
30th?
February 30th?
Yes.
George Washington Boulevard and Dixie Drive still chugging away. George Washington Boulevard and Dixie Drive. And then 700 East bike and pedestrian improvements will be designed, like 90% government design on that. So hopefully going into construction this next summer. Anything related that we're missing?
Nope, you hit the nail on the head.
Okay.
This is the deal.
Okay.
Santa Clara?
Doing a chip seal on Pioneer Parkway right now, and there's about 500 feet at the Harmon's entrance. It's been heated by clay. We're going to have that removed before we chip seal it in May. That's all we've got.
Okay, Tocqueville's not here. They texted and said they weren't going to make it. Transit. Anything on the transit? Cameron not here. UDOT.
So real quick, We did have a federal freeze on all federal funding for about 3 days. That's what caused a lot of all we do. That was lifted, but there still is a hold on all federal grants. I wish I had an answer as to when we would know more about that, but stay tuned.
Would that include the rating and lowering of I-15 to 400?
That includes any grant signed or not signed. So we're anxiously waiting more answers. We unfortunately don't have a timeline on them. We'll know more, but we're hopeful on everything that has been previously signed, but keep time. I want to give a real quick update on the Vail Bridge. It's probably been a hot topic down here. We had an annual inspection that they found some substantial cracking in the plates. That's what's caused the alarm. So as of this morning, we put out a notice just identifying kind of the closures of that structure for the retrofit or the emergency repair to happen. I'll go over this real quick, but I can send out a link that we can pass along. It's available. But basically, the bridge will be closed from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, February 8th and 9th, so starting this weekend. And then it'll be closed 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Thursday of that following week. The intention is there'll be some large trucks on the bridge, ladder trucks, boom trucks, doing the repairs. And as they remove those plates, they can't have all that stuff moving around and still be able to do the work. So,
could you send us that news saying you've got 14 other people?
Yep. Basically, this is an emergency repair to get the structure back open. There's a deeper dive, different analysis of the structure to see what the long-term repair is. It'll be down the road just a little bit. But this is the purpose right now is to bring it back to a retrofit status and allow the structure to be open for full use. So outside of those time frames that I gave you, it'll still remain one-way traffic with signals until the repair is complete. Like I say, they're shooting for February to 13th, Thursday, when things will be wrapped up. As far as just a few quick project updates, St. George Boulevard St. George Boulevard project, Main Street, will have plan and hand phase here in a couple weeks. I-15, Montville 6 to 8. We have plan in hand slated for the April time frame. And that's kind of the major one. We have a lot going on as far as headed to construction here soon in design phase, but due to time, we'll leave it at that.
Okay. All right, Virgin, did you see anybody behind you?
We're here.
There you are. All right. Okay, what do you got going in Virgin?
Really nothing major to report. Playing catch up after that cold spell we had. We were losing a lot of water from our tanks in a small scale of time, so it was very alarming to us. Come to find out, it had nothing to do with our main lines. It was all unprotected backflow preventers and such, and people living out of town, commercial businesses, that they simply blew water suppression systems in their houses, in their garages, when they weren't home. So overall, it's just getting the community to be better prepared for next winter and know that if they're going to be gone out of state, they've got to take care of that. If not, then we can assist with that because it was a nightmare for about 2 weeks. This is Eric. He's new to the area. He's a water operator. That's why I brought him here. He can kind of give you a little bit more information about it. He was fairly new to this. I'm a bit on it, so.
Trying to get it all figured out, yeah. Not knowing the system.
And at the same time, we were having construction done on our main line coming up from Tuckerville, so we had about 2 days. It was getting pretty sketchy there for a minute. But we handled it and come find out. We're in good shape.
Okay. Washington?
Wait.
Red Hills Parkway widening to Green Spring Drive is complete. It was completed on Monday. 2000 South at Sandia, where we did full reconstruct, that's completed as well. And then 300 East right turn pocket at Telegraph, and there's also some medians going in that is underway. Thursday night, this Thursday, they're going to be moving the signal pole, and that will become a four-way stop from 9 p.m. to 6 a.m. They're hoping they can get it done that fast. We'll see. Could be a fun little thing if you're trying to get through there at 6:45 a.m. Might want to go around. Or 7:45. Don't know.
That it?
Yeah.
County, you going to Elliott?
Yeah. Sheep Ridge Road finished early January. I'm sure that is probably mentioned. Looks great. We're doing a new enzyme-based treatment for some dirt and gravel roads, either in Chautauqua or Apple Valley. Looking forward to that, weather permitting, so might have a month or so. Just finished sign replacement plan, so I might see less bullet riddle signs in the county during the next few months.
Garbage.
Yeah. I didn't hear. And Sheep Ridge EA is planned to finish here.
Okay. Thank you. Upcoming meeting. Consider moving March DTAC to March 4th at noon. That's Tuesday, right?
Yeah, the APWA conference is the week of DTAC next month, so we propose that we move that meeting to March 4th.
Everybody okay with that? I know I would be out of town, so.
On that same note on APWA, I emailed everybody, all the public works directors. If you just give me a little synopsis of what you plan on presenting at the APWA conference, if you want to. And again, Pete Blake is the only one that sent me over anything, so.
Whoa.
I know he's the winner this week.
Well, I'm moving that a day earlier, and I'm not sure if I'll be here, but if I'm not, Marty's got control of the agenda.
Okay.
And then the BTAC is February 18th. Is there anything else? Myron, did we miss anything?
I'm sure you did. But
I am sure of it, too. Yeah, I did. Item number six, I missed that. Anybody got any problems with the journey?
No.
Thank you. Meeting's adjourned.